Ramsey TV.
You know, I realized this morning that 6 is a victim of the number 7. 6 would be okay on its own. There's nothing wrong with it technically. It's the number of humanity. As I'm going to read here in Revelation 13, as I continue and as I get to that revelation, that nugget that I really meant to give to you yesterday, but I ran out of time. But if it weren't for 7, see, 7 wrecks 6's life because 7 is perfection. So 6 is only lacking in relation to, there's one more number and it's the perfect number. So I'm one short. At that time, 6, once 7 showed up, 6 became one short of 7. That's the whole problem with 6. 7 showed up. 6 was the big man on campus. Then the big dog showed up, and now 6 is one short. A day late, a dollar short, and a number short. This is Martin Zunder. Welcome to part 2 of the number 666. As I told you yesterday, it's a real number. It's a bad number. And see, and then 6 gets an attitude after it's been, you know, conquered, or if you will, shadowed by number 7. Oh, why is 7 perfection? Well, first of all, the first indication, the first reference of the word 7 is in Genesis. On the 7th day, God stopped. That's the completion. That's the perfection. And then God works in sevens from that point forward. The 7th day is the Sabbath day. The 7th year is the sabbatical year when the fields lay fallow in Israel and everybody gets a year off. What happened to that little rule? And then 7 sevens of years, every 50th year is the Jubilee year. 7 sevens, that's 49 years, and then the next year is the Jubilee year. The 50th year is when all the property goes back to its original owner, slaves go free. It's confetti time in Israel on the Jubilee year. And then, of course, the famous prophecy in Daniel 9 that God has appointed 77s for the people of Israel. 77s. That was a great prophecy concerning the times of Israel, when the Messiah would come and when the kingdom would come. That is 490 years, multiple of 7, of course, and 483 of those years have transpired. 1 7 remains. Some people think that that last 7 has run its course, but then you have to allegorize the entire book of Revelation. You have to treat the whole thing as a giant parable, which it's not. So we're not going to do that here. So that's why 7 is so great. So 6 gets an attitude, and then 6 multiplies itself. Oh yeah, 666. And that's really what it is. It's 666. It's 6 really flexing muscles that it doesn't have. It's getting sand kicked in its face by 7. It doesn't like that. So it just pads its shirts a little bit and paints on a beard and a mustache, and then 666. Everything, if I would put 666 in a nutshell, I would call it everything man can do. And it doesn't matter if you put 4 or 5 or 7 or 8 sixes there, 666666666, you're going to get failure. It's just going to be multiplied failure. It's going to be even more embarrassing for 6. 6 should have stopped with 6. At least you only fail with one digit. But now you're going to go 666, and you're going to fail with that too. In fact, it's going to produce the Antichrist. So it's really, you've just emphasized your failure. Now you're failing with more troops. It's like increasing your army, and you fail worse. With the more people you get in your army, the worse you do. Like a football team, the more number one draft picks you get, if it's even possible to get more than one number one, you lose worse. It's just very embarrassing, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for 6, but there it is. Somebody said, I'm going to get to Revelation 13 and the revelation in Revelation 13. It's amazing, and you can see how this whole thing is going to slip right under Christianity. They're not going to know what hit them. They're going to line up for the beast, but again, it doesn't appear as a beast, and they're going to line up for that number, even though they're not going to see the number. Wait for it. Somebody wrote yesterday on the comments on my video and said, quote, my mom thinks that religion and politics are inseparable. I think I'm going to get more on this tomorrow. But and what he meant was, he was kind of disgusted about it, is she thinks that church and state belong together. And I, as I said yesterday, church and state, which is religion and politics, church, religion, state, politics, it's bad when it's together. Now, that is when it's organized and administered by mortals. That's when it's bad. So it's very good today when we have church and state, that is religion and politics, separate. Because when the state runs religion, then they tell you how to worship. And you got to do it their way or you will die. And that's exactly what's going to happen at the end of this eon. And I told this guy, I said, it's not that church and state are a bad thing. It's not that religion and politics are a bad thing. In fact, religion, the book of the unveiling, the book of Revelation, is all about religion and politics. The first section of Revelation from chapter 3, approximately up until, I think, chapter 11, verse 25, has to do with politics. It's called the throne section. Revelation 11, 25, I think it is to the end of the book, let's say till chapter 20, is called the temple section. The throne section deals with the political deliverance of the earth, that is, deliverance from the earth's kings, and the temple section is deliverance from the damned religions that have plagued humanity since there was such thing as Satan and a such thing as this present earth. Religion is the enemy of God because it makes people think they're worshiping God, but they're not. It's the greatest deception on the face of the earth. There are four main religions: Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity. And the most deceptive of them all is Christianity. So it's not religion and politics that are bad. It's bad religion and politics that are bad. Bad religion, bad politics. When Christ brings his kingdom, he's going to be king and priest. What's king and priest? Religion and politics. Except I just said it the other way. A priest and a king. Religion and politics. The priest administers the religion, that's the church. And the king administers the state. The king administers the government. And that's the throne. King sits on a throne. Priest sits on your head. No, ideally not. All right, here we go. Revelation chapter 13. I left off with people worshiping the dragon and not even realizing they're worshiping the dragon. In fact, people are worshiping Satan now, and they're all in church. They're worshiping Satan. They don't realize it because Satan is disguised as a messenger of light. They're actually Satan worshipers. They're demon worshipers. I swear to you. Go to my series called Sex with the Devil. I think it's a 7-part series. Manfred says it's the best series that I've ever done. Sex with the Devil. I tell you how Christianity is actually worshiping a false god. And I believe it's the false god Baal Peor. And I give the reasons why. When the true king of Christianity is unveiled, every single person that has fallen prey to this religion is going to be ashamed and abashed. And they're going to discover that the whole time they were worshiping a demon. The demon behind Christianity. Every religion has a spirit behind it. Daniel chapter 7, four spirits, four beasts, four religions. They all come together in Revelation. And it's being described for us in chapter 13. And I can't emphasize this enough, that it's going to look good on the earth in the first 3.5 years. After that, the mask is coming off, and it's going to be all-out war. I'll show you that. And they worship the wild beast, saying, who is like the wild beast? See, but this is after the middle point of the last 7 years. Oh, by the way, I said that 7 was the number of God. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times 7. There you go. Or is it 70 times 7? Yeah, 70 times 7. 490 times. Well, what if my brother sins 491 times? You don't have to forgive him for the last one. No, just 70 times 7. Okay, so It was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. You see, in the last 7 years, it's going to be recognized as a wild beast. The mask is coming off. The reverse Wizard of Oz thing is out the door. And now it's a snarling, anti-human, blaspheming entity. It still looks like a human being. But it's impelled, more obviously than it has been, by Satan. This is when the head wound happens. The head wound happens in the middle. I believe at that time, I fell into the common thinking that it's a head wound that befalls the Antichrist. It's not. It's a wound to one of the heads of the 10-nation confederacy that comprises the wild beast system. So it's not necessarily a head wound. It's just a wound that's as unto death, but that's not. It seems like a miraculous recovery, and perhaps it is. But it's demonic. Black arts. Texas tea. So it was given authority to do what it wills. 42 months. There you go. When evil is spoken of, it's spoken of in months. It's ruled by the moon, the reflective light. So 42 months is the same thing as 3.5 years. But when the saints are referenced, it's 3.5 years. When the demon worship is referenced, it's 42 months. That's the same period of time. One measured by the sun, one measured by the moon. So this beast now has authority for 42 months. This is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And it opens its mouth in blasphemies toward God to blaspheme his name. Well, they're doing that now, but it's covert. And his tabernacle and those tabernacling in heaven. Well, that's audacious. And to it was given to do battle with the saints and to conquer them. I don't believe we're here on the earth at this time. We are gone before the middle. That's the latest we can be here, is the middle, because we are not appointed to indignation, and Christ is our deliverer out of the coming indignation. And that's this. It's a specific indignation, 7 years, specifically 3.5 years of indignation. We're not appointed to that. We're ambassadors of peace, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have no place on the earth when God declares war. As I've told you many times, but we have new people watching all the time, no nation declares war on another nation until they withdraw their ambassadors. Get our ambassadors out of there, then we bomb the hell out of them. That's what God does with us. We're his ambassadors. We're in a foreign nation, a foreign place. We're expatriates. We're on the earth. We don't belong here. We're going to be taken to our celestial home before God declares all-out war with the earth. But this war is, again, it's going to be productive, because when the Lord's judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. It's a hard road for them. For us, God has been very, very, very gracious to us, to appoint us to membership in the body of Christ. We have no idea. Even those of us who think we have a good idea, we're going to find out how blessed we really are. Oh, we're so protected. We're so cherished. We're the apple of God's eye, and no harm can come to us, except that which in this life prepares us for our role and gives us greater glory. So it's all in God's hands. Nothing happens to you by accident. Nothing happens to you that doesn't have a purpose. And it was given to him to battle with the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given to it and over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who are dwelling on the earth will be worshiping it. Hey, all who are dwelling on the earth will be worshiping it. The exception here is the 144,000 who are sealed. There's also a vast throng that are loyal to Christ, and we are not on the earth at this time. Everyone whose name, here we go. All who are dwelling on the earth will be worshiping it. And then there's a caveat here. Everyone whose name is not written in the scroll of life. So if your name is not written in the scroll of life, you're going to be one of those people. I think I shouldn't make this correlation. I probably shouldn't do this. You might be one of those people who take the VC. That's rough. That's rough. I don't know that for 100% sure. But the VC against the CV19er, I mean, what else do you want to see? What else needs to happen for us to see that this will be the mark of the beast? The timing is right. 5,993 years from Adam. The sign on September 23rd, 2017. The timing is right. The Jubilees. Since Christ, that is right. And now we have this. The world, the whole world under a spell, ready to take a mark that will enable them to buy and sell. I mean, what else do you want to see? What else do you need to convince you that this is it? If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is for captivity, into captivity he is going. I'm in verse 9, Revelation chapter 13. If anyone will be killed, will be killing with the sword, he must be with the sword killed. Here is the endurance and faith of the saints. Yeah, for sure. And I perceived another wild beast. This is the false prophet. Get ready for this. Here we go. I perceived another wild beast ascending out of the land, and it had two horns like a lambkin's. Again, there's that hint of godhood, a false or a false sheen of godhood. The wild beast will be speaking blasphemies. And we see that one of the crisis points is he sits in the temple of God declaring that he is God. So it's an imitation of the lambkin. So it's strange here to see two horns like a lambkin's, but that's the whole deception. And it spoke as a dragon. What a conflict. What a contradiction. Horns like a lambkin, but speaks like a dragon. That's why the deception is going to be so slick. And it is exercising all the authority of the first wild beast in its sight, and making the earth and those dwelling in it to be worshiping the first wild beast whose death blow was cured. There you go. There you go. And again, this worship is going to just be allegiance to the system. To, I showed you those two people. I'm not going to show it again in Israel. It's allegiance to the system. That is worship of the wild beast. Again, it's not this cartoonish worship that you picture. Most Christians, and we're going to see this when I get to the big deal here, they picture worshiping the beast as bowing down. There you see this ugly creature like Satan with slime all over his body, smells like sauerkraut, and then people are doing this thing. They're bowing down, they're on their knees, and they're putting their head to the ground, and up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, and they think that's worshiping the beast. This is why they will be doing it and not even realize they're doing it. Well, we're not worshiping the beast. We're just being subject to this system. We're just being subject to the kingdom that tells us to get the mark or else we can't buy or sell. That's not worshiping the wild beast. Yes, it is. And it is doing great signs, that it may be making fire also descend out of heaven into the earth in the sight of mankind. Just like what happens, this happened before. This is not so unusual, because at Mount Carmel, we know that Elijah competed with the prophets of Baal to see who was God, and they brought fire upon the altar. It's a great deception, great trick, great trick. Somebody's probably doing it in Las Vegas right now. It is deceiving those dwelling on the earth because of the signs which were given to it to do in the sight of the wild beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the wild beast which has the blow of the sword and lives. Now we're getting crazy. Again, this is the second half of the last 7 years. Now we're getting nuts. Now you're going to see stuff, not us. We'll be watching from the celestial bleachers. People on the earth are going to see things they've never seen before. There's an image to the beast. It was given to it to give spirit to the image of the wild beast, that the image of the wild beast should be speaking and should be causing that whoever should not be worshiping the image of the wild beast may be killed. So at this late time in the tribulation, I am willing to acknowledge that since all the covers are off, there may be something akin to what Nebuchadnezzar did in Babylon when he built his image and people did have to literally bow down. So I'm willing to acknowledge that that could happen at this late time. But while this thing is in formation and even into the 3.5 years, it's just going to be acquiescence to the system. Yeah, we're for it. We're for it. There it is. That's worship of the wild beast. Now it's just going to become more physical. I could even be wrong about that. It still might be subtle, but I'm willing to acknowledge that it's the kind of worship that I described earlier. And it is causing all, get ready. It is causing all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor and the free and the slaves, that they may be giving them an emblem on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may be able to buy or sell except the one having the emblem of the wild beast or its name or the number of its name. That's the key. I'm coming back to it, but first this. Verse 18, the last verse of the unveiling, chapter 13. Here is wisdom. Let him who has a mind calculate the number of the wild beast, for it is the number of mankind, and its number is 666. This is not a joke. The only thing I would be able to compare the evil of this time on earth to was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Since then, there has never been anything like this, like that, but this is close. If anybody knows, because I don't know this part, I'm going to get back to verse 17, because that's the big reveal. Here is wisdom. Let him who has a mind calculate the number of the wild beast. I don't know what that means. How does one calculate the number of the wild beast? Because the number is said here to be 666. That is the number. So why would one need to calculate something that is stated? I don't understand this verse. If somebody out there knows somebody, or if somebody out there is the person that can explain this, the calculation part is what I'm unclear about. How does one calculate the number of the beast? I know the number. I know what it represents. It represents everything that humanity can do. It's embodied in a person who states himself to be God. It's the opposition of everything God is. I know that. But what is involved in the calculation? If somebody knows, let me know. But here it is. It is causing all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free and the slaves, that they may be giving them an emblem on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may be able to buy or sell except the one having the emblem of the wild beast or its name or the number of its name. Nobody I know of pays attention to the word or, because everybody assumes that the number, that the emblem is going to be 666. Everybody assumes that the outward display, that the flag, the emblem, the identification mark of the beast will be evident. It will be everywhere. It'll be 666. You've seen the Christian artwork that has 666 on the forehead or 666 on the hand. There is no way that is going to happen, because I've told you for years now that Christianity itself is going to fall in line for the beast. They're going to praise the beast. They're going to love it. Why shouldn't they? They've been doing it ever since their parents took them to church. They've been worshiping demons, and now they're going to worship the wild beast, and they're not going to understand what it is. Business as usual. So there's no way that a Christian will sign up for something that says 666. And that's what they're looking for. Do you see what I'm... That's what they're looking for. But look at the out. There's an out here. There's a little turn in the alley. And it's this. The one having the emblem of the wild beast or its name or the number of its name. The last part, or the number of its name, we know what that is. It's 666. That's not going to be the outward emblem. It'll either be the emblem or the name. You have three choices, or maybe you don't even have a choice, but here's the three choices as presented in the scripture here about the mark that you receive, without which you cannot buy or sell. It is, you have the emblem of the wild beast, or you have its name, or you have the number of its name. Forget the number of its name. That's just put in here. I honestly believe that that is put in here to give us wisdom. Maybe this is part of the wisdom in the calculation. I don't know. To give us wisdom that Christians don't have because they don't pay attention to words. Have you noticed? They screw up words. They don't understand the word eon. They don't understand the words Hades, Tartarus, or Gehenna. So they don't look at this carefully. They don't look at this carefully. They think automatically the mark of the beast is 666. That's what they think. Mark of the beast, 666. It can be the emblem of the beast. What is the emblem? We don't know. It could be a beautiful mark. I've postulated before that it could be the cross. The cross could be the emblem of the beast. You get a cross on the back of your hand, if it's visible. If it's even visible, I think it'll be invisible. But they are sure it's going to be visible. And they think it's going to be 666. But the emblem could be a cross or its name. The name of the beast could be written in a code. And I don't know what the name of the beast is, but it'll be a very innocent sounding thing. The name of the beast. I don't know. Joe, Fred, Bobby, Jim. I'm just almost not even totally joking. But the name of the beast, or maybe it'll be the name of the nation, like Israel could be the name of the beast. You see what I mean? Who's not going to take Israel on their hand? Who's not going to have a code injected under their skin that says Israel, that has something to do with either the cross or with Israel? That could be the emblem or the name of the beast. But it sure as hell is not going to be the number 666, because that would give it away. But it's put in here so that the Christians will trip, so that those who do not love God, who do not love Christ, who worship the false God and the false Christ, they'll be convinced in their minds that, well, we're not taking 666. They're putting Israel in us. They're putting a cross on our foreheads or whatever. Like they do at Lent. They put the cross on your forehead in the Catholic Church. What is that? What is that? That's a mark. That's a mark. It's not a number. It's an emblem. And it's a beautiful emblem. Everybody wants it. After Ash Wednesday, the Catholics go around like all proud. They go to the grocery store and show off their little ash cross. It's a indication. It's a preamble for the mark of the beast. It is. It's a precursor of the mark of the beast. Look at my ash cross. Do I have to? I avert my eye. It's just like when Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy of Micah 5:2. He was born in Bethlehem. And when the three wise men from the east came to Herod, they said, "Where does your prophecy say that the Messiah will be born? The king of Israel, because there's a king born somewhere. We're following his star from the east." And they said he's born in Bethlehem. So my God, why wouldn't that generation be able to recognize him when he began his public ministry, looking at his birth records or whatever? Like, well, this is him. He's come from Bethlehem. But no, what did they say? Even his own disciples said, "Has anything good come from Nazareth?" So the Holy Spirit made sure that Jesus Christ, as a baby, was whisked out of Bethlehem. After a short period of time, the scripture was fulfilled, then you're out of here. The scripture's fulfilled, Messiah's born in Bethlehem, now you're going to Egypt. And now from Egypt, you're not going back to Bethlehem, you're going to Nazareth, and you're going to be raised in Nazareth. But somehow the records are going to be lost, and everybody's going to be sure that you're from Nazareth, and nothing good comes from Nazareth. This can't be the Messiah. And so the whole of the priesthood looking for somebody from Bethlehem, they're tricked into thinking he's from Nazareth. Same thing's happening here. Same principle here. They're all looking for 666. But the scripture doesn't say it's going to be 666. It says it could be this or that or the number. Sure as hell's not going to be the number. And so when they say, "Well, Lord, we thought we..." No, you just didn't look. You didn't care. What do I say? The people who are deceived in the religions, they're deceived because they need to look one layer below the surface, but they don't, because they get their truth from a drive-through window, from a church. So there you have it. No one who misses out on 1,000 years ends up standing at the great white throne and says, "What happened? How did I end up here? I thought I was a good Christian. I followed everything. I didn't get 666. See? No. The scriptures will be opened up. They will be convicted in their hearts that they love the popular thing, They went with the wild beast because it was the tailwind. It was the popular thing. It was do this or else. They're not willing to suffer for God. They're not willing to lose their souls in order to find their souls. Their main concern is to pamper their souls, to make it well for them, to not die, to get along with everybody, to not make waves, not rock the boat. And their biggest thing is to buy or sell. That's what they live for. They live to buy and to sell. Either they're buying and selling literal goods, or they're buying and selling their own self-worth with their free will. They're trading in pride. Those people are going down. We are going up.